sounds great. We'll add fancy stuff later. This is Dakota Free Press, and we're in Sioux Falls with Adam Weiland, who is the spokesman, leader, what's the word I want?
I could call me a founding member of Dakotans for Health.
Founding member of Dakotans for Health. And we're going to talk about Dakotans for Health and their concern about the Affordable Care Act and South Dakotans' access to health care. Adam, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, glad to have you, and glad to get to talk about something important like health care. First, Adam, tell us about Dakotans for Health. Who and what is Dakotans for Health?
Yeah, that's obviously a great question. Dakotans for Health is a ad hoc group of North and South Dakotans that are focused on organizing around protecting some very critical, important components of our healthcare system. Many of them are centered around the Affordable Care Act, and what we're really focusing on is getting the word out on some of the efforts out there to undermine the ACA, including critical protections in the ACA, like protections for people with pre-existing conditions, provisions allowing kids to stay on their parents' health insurance plan until they're 26, and what some of the policy outcomes and healthcare outcomes could be if some of these less than desirable legislative and legal actions move forward.
We'll talk about those details and more. I want to check, because listeners to the blog always want to know where stuff is coming from. Dakotans for Health, are you part of a national organization?
So Dakotans for Health is part, this is a big thing. I mean, this is happening right now in most states in the country, in most congressional districts in the country, in most U.S. Senate races in the country, you know, where you've got this like high-octane, politically charged environment. Dakotans for Health is part of over 250 consumer and patient advocacy groups, nurses associations, hospital associations that have all come together to organize around protecting some of these critical consumer protections.
Right, because this is a nationwide issue, obviously, especially with regards to the Affordable Care Act.
Absolutely. It's absolutely a nationwide issue. So our sort of local effort is actually a combination of North and South Dakota. So we've been up there in North Dakota a little bit, and obviously getting down here in South Dakota. We've got some great volunteer partners. We've been out there with former Congressman Earl Pomeroy of North Dakota and former Obama Deputy HHS Secretary Mary Wakefield, who's actually responsible for a lot of the data in the rural health report that we issued earlier this week.
Okay, so let's get to some of those details of the law and the issues you're talking about. You mentioned, first of all, the protection for policyholders, people with health insurance, who have pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
For those just joining the show, when we say pre-existing conditions, who and what are we talking about?
Again, that's a great question. Pre-existing conditions are something that 50% of the population is currently living with, and it's everything from cancer to diabetes to asthma to obscure genetic disorders like Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome.
Does it include something like you fell out of a tree, you broke your arm, you had your broken arm fixed, now you're good? Is a broken arm in the past, is that a pre-existing condition, or does it need to be kind of an ongoing, you know, a disease that could recur?
Yeah, I don't think that a broken arm would be treated as a pre-existing condition, at least not as I understand it. Pre-existing conditions are usually understood, are usually defined as being a developed, like a, almost like an organically developed health issue of some sort. So you developed diabetes, you developed asthma, or you were born with diabetes, or you were born with asthma. They're not really conditions that are so obviously developed.
Right, but even so, like you said, asthma, birth defect, anything like that, I mean, it's pretty common stuff. Either you've got one, or someone you know has got some pre-existing condition.
Exactly.
So, tell us about why this matters in terms of the health insurance area. Because, I mean, obviously, if you've had a pre-existing condition, well, you're worried it might happen again.
Yeah.
Health insurance is going to be that much more important. why was it, like in the past, apparently people with pre-existing conditions couldn't get insurance, right?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. In the past, it was more of what we called the Dark Ages style of insurance. And what happened was in 2010, when we passed the Affordable Care Act, it included protection. It included a key protection for people with pre-existing conditions. So that's codified now under the law. And it, what it says is that you can't use a person's health information to discriminate against them when you're either pricing them for health insurance or reviewing one of their claims. So you cannot be charged more or denied coverage because of your pre-existing medical condition. That was not the case prior to 2010.
Before the Affordable Care Act.
Before the Affordable
Care Act. That was one of the big things. If you went to the insurer and you had asthma, or your kid had asthma, insurer would look at you and say, sorry, we're not going to cover you because that's a greater risk for us.
Yeah.
So basically, people who needed insurance more couldn't get it.
That's right. They couldn't get it because they are either being denied coverage because no insurance company wanted to take on that kind of a risk, or they were being charged exorbitant prices for the health insurance.
Right.
And so that's why when we came together and passed the ACA, you've got to keep in mind here, when you're talking about insurance and specifically health insurance, it's all about spreading the risk around. And so by saying that nobody could discriminate against somebody with a pre-existing condition, we made it a lot easier to cover everybody that had a pre-existing condition.
Right. In terms of effect in South Dakota, when this got passed and people with pre-existing conditions could now had a much better shot at getting affordable insurance, what's your sense of how many South Dakotans that affects?
That's, again, a great question. According to a study done by Kaiser Health, they estimate about 50% of the country is actually living with what would be identified as a pre-existing health condition.
You've got asthma, you've got a birth defect, some diabetes, something has come up.
Exactly. And so when that comes to South Dakota, look, that's about 358,000 South Dakotans.
And that would include women who've been pregnant, right?
Yes, and I should, yeah, absolutely. Until the ACA, pregnancy could have been treated as a pre-existing condition.
Wow.
When it comes to pricing out people's health insurance. So to break it down by the numbers in South Dakota, you're talking about 358,000 South Dakotans living with a pre-existing condition. And of those 358, about 225,000 of them aren't on Medicare.
Are not on Medicare.
Okay. So there are 225,000 of these people living with pre-existing conditions that are actually at a real, have some real exposure here.
Sure.
And all we're saying is that you should continue to not have that exposure, which you currently have, right, are protected from having under the law.
Right now, those people are good, but you're saying, and Dakotans for Health is saying, that specific projection or protection is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, they didn't happen last year, but every day or every month, it seems there's something new from the current administration trying to undermine it.
That's right.
But you also said your group is talking about a lawsuit.
Yeah,
against the Affordable Care Act.
No, that's right, Corey. And one of the things maybe I should have mentioned earlier is part of the catalyst behind getting Dakotans for Health up off the ground came in June. So Texas First the United States is a lawsuit. It was originated last year by the Attorney General of Texas. He was joined by 19 other Attorney Generals, including Marty Jackley.
South Dakota's Attorney General was in on this.
Yes, exactly. Where they are suing the United States in this lawsuit in a legal effort to undermine Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. And what they're doing in this lawsuit is they're specifically attacking the protection for people with pre-existing conditions, arguing that it is not constitutional to require an insurance company, or to say an insurance company, can't discriminate against you using your health information. And this is as it relates to a pre-existing condition. Anyway, fast forward, South Dakota's Attorney General, Marty Jackley, he signed onto the suit, I believe, back in February.
The ACA to go away.
Absolutely. It's a death by a thousand cuts effort. And this is one component of it. But it's maybe the most important component of it for a couple reasons. First off, in June, in a very, very, very unusual move, the Department of Justice, Attorney General's Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Department of Justice, I should clarify, took the unusual step of announcing that they actually weren't going to defend the law against this suit. So in Texas versus the U.S., the U.S. is not going to step up to the plate and defend the law.
So wait, when it's Texas versus U.S.,
yeah.
U.S. doesn't show up to defend. Yeah. I mean, does Texas just run to the end zone, or do you and I have to go to the Supreme Court? Who speaks on behalf of the Affordable Care Act?
It's really weird, and it's highly unusual. So that happened in June. We really started getting up and running in July, and the most damning aspect of this entire process that I think that people really need to pay attention to is that if this lawsuit moves forward, it will effectively hollow out the Affordable Care Act, rendering certain components of it unconstitutional, protecting people with pre-existing conditions, requiring health insurance companies cover kids until they're 26 on their parents' health insurance plan. And it's going to kick all of these other people that are enrolled in the Obamacare health exchanges, which there are 20,000 in South Dakota. It's going to kick them off the rolls. And there's no plan in place to take care of folks if this happens.
We've got the repeal by judiciary in this case, but we don't have a replace.
Exactly.
There's nothing in the chute. And Texas does. I mean, and you can't do that in a lawsuit, but Texas is proposing some alternative.
And you couldn't do it in a lawsuit. So I think that this was probably taken on in an effort to further undermine Obamacare. Like I said, it's death by a thousand cuts, but these guys got nothing to protect us if the suit is successful, and that's just wrong, and I don't think South Dakota should be part of it.
So just curious, not to go too far down the legal nitty-gritty road, but I'm curious, if Jeff Sessions, if the Department of Justice isn't going to show up as defense or be filing briefs or whatever, does anyone have standing? Does someone need to jump in? Like, do people with pre-existing conditions need to file a brief? Or who does the other side in this argument?
You know, that's a really interesting question. Not anyone as of yet that I'm aware of, other than what we're doing now in conjunction with, 250 different consumer and patient advocacy groups. Look, it'll be there. A lot of this is up for the courts to decide. We don't know which way it's going to go. With the shift in balance on the judiciary, you know, it's concerning to see where some of this stuff could go. And ultimately, it's very concerning because there's nothing in place right now to protect people if this moves forward. And like I was telling you during the break, you know, we've got 19,500 people enrolled on the healthcare exchanges. So this is independent of people with pre-existing conditions. I'm just talking about 20,000 people that are getting their healthcare on the healthcare exchanges now. And they're everybody from, you know, contract workers to small businesses and entrepreneurs and to farmers and ranchers. You know, the vast majority of farmers and ranchers in South Dakota are independent business people. They're independent contractors. They're really entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and those are folks that rural people, you know, especially the farm and ranch community, those are folks who are self-employed. So they don't have an employer policy to turn to, right?
Exactly.
And that's really when people talk about Obamacare and talk about the marketplace, those are the folks who are actually buying the policies.
Yes.
People who previously had a real difficult time as individuals who didn't have insurance from their employers.
That's exactly right. And I think what you'll see here, so one of the other, just to progress a little bit on this rural health report, you know, you'll find in the rural health report, one of our key findings, and you know this well, having lived in South Dakota for so long, is that as a rural state, we have unique challenges when it comes to the administration of healthcare. One of which is access to healthcare. When you're living out in rural South Dakota, it's more difficult to get access to healthcare. You're driving into Aberdeen, you're driving into Sioux Falls, you're driving into Rapid City. It's just generally more difficult. And by reducing the number of people that are covered with health insurance, we're going to have overall reduced healthcare outcomes in rural parts of the state.
Sure.
We're also going to have a reduced economy. And
not that we want a lot of GDP coming from people with, you know, broken arms and cancer and have to pay for treatment. But the fact that they can get that treatment paid for is a lot better than folks just saying, oh, well, I can't afford to go in for this treatment or this checkup or whatever, I'm not going to do it. That's bad for the economy, right?
Well, exactly, and it's a snowball effect, because sure, it's bad for the economy. We've got these two world-class healthcare systems, Sanford and Avera Health, here in the state. But it's a snowball effect, because what it will lead to is the closure of more rural health facilities. So it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, because the rural healthcare facilities, you know, outside of Sioux Falls, maybe outside of Aberdeen, the small town clinics, the smaller hospitals, like up in Madison and elsewhere, they're still depending on people coming in and having checkups and getting treatments and things to keep their doors open.
That's
They've got to have some revenue, and the fewer people who have coverage that allows them to get treatment, you're right, that's one more burden on those local healthcare providers.
It's making it harder.
Sure.
And it's already hard enough to do this in rural parts of the state. We don't need to make it any more difficult.
Now, say again, the number of people on the marketplace in South Dakota?
Yeah.
How many is that?
It's about 19,500 as of the end of 2017.
Right. And that's all sorts of people. We're not even talking about, you know, Medicaid cases or charity cases or anything like that. This is just working folks, farmers who may be they may have plenty of income, not with this year's crop prices, but these can be farmers who are simply buying their own insurance.
Yeah, this could literally be anybody. It could be it could be an attorney, it could be a farmer, it could be a construction worker, it could be a teacher that's decided to enroll in the exchanges instead of get a group plan through the state. I mean, it could be anybody.
You also mentioned, tell me about the protections for, you know, young people up to age 26.
Yeah.
How does that coverage work now, and how many South Dakotans does that affect?
Yeah, that's, again, a great question, and it's actually something that I have a personal antidote on. I was one of the young South Dakotans who benefited from this law when it went into effect, because I was allowed to stay on my parents' health insurance plan.
You were still in that age range then.
Yes, when it was implemented in 2011, I was able to stay on my parents' health insurance plan after having been diagnosed with a very serious heart condition known as Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, which is... would also be identified as a pre-existing condition.
I was going to say, you kind of an overlap there, pre-existing condition, and, you know, at the time you were in, being young enough to stay on your parents' policy.
Exactly.
Double
So this happened, this is my early 20s. I was in between jobs. Mm-hmm. And
like a lot of people in their 20s.
Yeah, and especially at that period of time. You know, this is the height of the economic recession. Mm-hmm. I'm in between jobs. Therefore, in between health insurance policies, you don't think, when this happens, you're like, okay, I'll get a job in 3 months. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden something happens and you're not fine.
Yep.
And I ended up having to have a corrective procedure, which went well, thankfully, and thankfully coincided right around the time the law went into effect, because my procedure ended up being $60,000 or $70,000, which will financially ruin most people in this country, and especially young people.
Yeah, who haven't had time, even the most responsible young people haven't had time to save up $70,000.
There's no way.
Right, right. So that protection, really economically, that seems to be really useful for young people, especially in the context of when we talk about student debt, this and that. Lots of young people are getting out of college. If they can save, and I don't know what the premium would be, but let's say it's even they're saving $100 a month on a healthcare premium, that's $100 they can put toward paying down their student loans right away.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. And so getting rid of this is going to make it more difficult.
Yeah, if we got rid of ACA, what age would that default back to then?
You know, I think it's going to depend on the plan. If my memory serves, when I was on my parents' plan during college, which is a Blue Cross Blue Shield big company held policy, I was able to be covered on it while I was enrolled in college.
Sure.
So it could go back to that, but again, it's pick and choose. It's going to depend on the policy that you have. Yes.
Issuers could, the point is that right now, issuers are all told, you have to allow young people to stay on parents' policy until 26, period.
It spreads the risk around. Spreads the risk around. And, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, too. So by providing health insurance to these young people when they're at the peak of health and in their early 20s, if they are getting into the habit of going to annual physicals, if they aren't letting that strep throat power through that strep throat with, you know, 12 months worth of without going on antibiotics and all this stuff, you actually have increased healthcare outcomes in a larger sense, right? So these are things we want to be teaching these young people, that they should be going to the doctor on a regular basis, that they should be getting checkups, and it's a proven fact. It just makes it easier when you're covered by health insurance.
And you mentioned the health outcomes at the top too. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of people who could just lose coverage, and that's the immediate impact.
Yeah.
But you're saying this spreads then into individual healthcare practices and arguably even into public health, right? Let's talk more about those health outcomes. If ACA goes away, fewer people are getting have access to coverage. What happens to health in South Dakota?
Well, we're going to be sicker. Everybody's going to be sicker. Everybody around you is going to be sicker. So if you don't have people going in and again getting checkups for chest colds and, you know, just basic, you know, basic health care, more people are going to develop chronic diseases. And just generally, the population is going to be sicker. And the problem is when the population's sicker and you don't have a health insurance in place to make it easier for people to go in and get taken care of, they wait till the last minute. And that's when we see issues where people are showing up with chronic illnesses in the emergency room, having to have emergency procedures, don't have health insurance, and people that do have health insurance end up having to offset those costs because healthcare costs continue to spike and premiums go up. It's the dark ages. This is what we were doing in the early 2000s, and everybody agreed then that it didn't work.
That's where the ACA didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It came out of the fact that the dark ages, not even a decade ago, weren't getting care to people, and that was leading not just to individual impacts in health and money, but into social impacts.
Exactly.
This is interesting, if you'll indulge me.
Of course.
Again, we're talking to Adam Weiland of Dakotans for Health. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. But Adam, what you just said about this idea of, you know, when we invest now and get people into the habit of seeking care, that prevents worse, more costly problems later on.
Yes.
There's a really interesting parallel here, because just yesterday I spoke with the ACLU about their Smart Justice campaign.
Okay.
And they said something very similar about investing in drug treatment and alternatives to incarceration instead of just an upfront tough on crime approach.
Yeah.
Because people will say, drug treatment costs money. We need to be tough on people. We need to hold them accountable. That kind of, you know, red in tooth and claw approach. But in criminal justice, that ends up costing more over time, because then we end up with people who aren't treated and their problems continue. Their drug abuse just gets worse and they keep coming back to the prison system.
Yeah.
With healthcare, you're kind of drawing a parallel there. If we don't get people into the habit now of seeking care, they're just going to keep coming back later when it's worse.
Exactly. And frankly, Corey, that's why the health insurance industry, the vast majority of the health insurance industry, is on board with Obamacare.
Sure.
And not happy about some of the administrative hurdles President Trump has been putting on to getting health coverage. You know, they want more people covered because it helps their bottom lines. It also has increased healthcare outcomes on a macro and micro level for regular folks across the United States.
And better healthcare outcomes, like you're saying, even better healthcare outcomes help insurers make money, because they're still going to be selling insurance to these young people in their 40 and 50 and 60.
That's right.
And if those 40, 50, 60-year-olds are healthier, hey, they're still paying premiums, but the insurance company isn't having to pay out, because that healthy 50-year-old is getting his checkups. He's not going in for cancer. He's not going in for diabetes or other chronic
bypass surgery because he's been on cholesterol medicine for 20 years.
Excellent example.
You know, it's a proven fact when it comes to healthcare. Like I said earlier, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So I'll do an analogy. There's a company down in New Orleans right now that has created sort of an Uber EMT program. It's called Ready Responders. And what they've done is Ready went in and they got the insurance companies, the insurance payers in Louisiana bought in to this program that they put together, which is a sort of volunteer Uber EMT network, right? So you've got EMTs, trained EMTs floating around the city like Uber drivers that respond to medical emergencies.
People with training, not just me going around saying,
board certified,
CPR?
Board certified people with trainings. Anyway, my point is on health insurance is they got the health insurance companies bought in because they could prove that they were going to reduce response times for medical emergencies. And it's proven to the second. When you reduce response times to medical emergencies, you have increased health outcomes. And not only does the patient fare better, the insurance company pays out fewer claims. Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do here.
You're healthier, the bill is lower, yeah. Whoever's paying for that.
It's a win for industry, it's a win for consumers, and if we go back and eliminate these protections, it's a lose for industry, it's a lose for consumers, and it's a lose for everyone all around who's worried about healthcare finances.
Now, I know that, you know, a big part of the Affordable Care Act is the Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
That's not in effect in South Dakota yet.
Unfortunately.
We're still holding out like a minority of states. Does Dakotans for Healthcare have a position on Medicaid expansion? Are you saying anything about that right now in your kind of public education efforts?
You know, yes. Look, it's the study does point to rural states that have expanded Medicaid are generally doing better in the global sort of healthcare scheme of things. So we are focusing on that. Let me get back, I can briefly touch on it. So in South Dakota, we've got about 19,500 people enrolled on the exchanges. We've got about 6,000 kids enrolled on their parents' plan, young South Dakotans between 18 and 26. As opposed to North Dakota, which has comparable numbers on the kids on their parents' plan and kids enrolled on the health exchanges, they got 22,000 people in North Dakota enrolled in Medicaid. Okay. So North Dakota, gosh, what?
Medicaid total or just
Medicaid
from
expansion?
Just
excuse
from expansion
me. Yeah, just from expansion.
22,000 people. Okay.
22,000
yep.
people have been covered through Medicaid expansion in North Dakota. Which, and I'll give their full credit to their Republican governor Dalrymple, who came together, put together bipartisan majorities in the state House and state Senate, and enacted Medicaid expansion, which is a matching program with the federal government to provide health insurance to poorer populations in rural communities. They've had increased health outcomes. They've got 22,000 people on the rolls there. So people are getting, you know, poor demographics are getting access to preventative health services. And by the way, it's stimulating the economy of the state there as well.
Okay.
And it's making better for the insurance companies. They got 22,000 more people that are paying out, that are paying a premium base plan.
Again, spreading the risk.
And doing it
on the federal tab, right? Because you talked about matching dollars,
yeah.
But it's like North Dakota, they're not even at the 90-10 level yet, but
yeah.
The match is, how much is it again?
You know, I'd have to go back and
okay.
look, but I will say this, is they're certainly taking out more than they're putting in.
Yeah, the feds are bearing the bulk of that burden. And that's kind of the stimulus side, right?
Basically, exactly.
A whole pot of money is coming into North Dakota that wouldn't be there otherwise, and it's getting spent to help hospitals.
And they're going to have a healthier, more vibrant state because of it.
Sure. And we're talking North Dakota, South Dakota. We're talking basically two identical places, maybe a few more Germans up in North, or Russians, I don't know. But same demographics, same culture, same economic impacts and health impacts would take place if we did it too, right?
Yeah, and frankly, I think there's an argument to be made that they'd be greater here, but just based on the fact that we have a larger population than North
okay.
Dakota.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you want to come down to talking about the people, the person, to the individual person level who's being impacted by things like Medicaid expansion, you're going to help more people being here in South Dakota.
And the lawsuit, Texas versus United States, the lawsuit, and I guess the North Dakota Attorney General's in on that too, right? Interesting.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the North Dakota Attorney General's in on it as well. And look, he's eating a lot of crow right now because this lawsuit is, people are finally starting to pay attention to some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's hard, you know, when you're paying attention to national politics, there's so many things happening. You don't know that some of the things that are happening at the administrative level to sabotage this act, which is going to impact a lot of people in South Dakota. Not only do we have this lawsuit going on, now President Trump is pitching an alternative for cheaper health insurance, which they call them association plans, skinny plans, or junk insurance plan. You know, they're using this as a way to say, hey, you know, for all those people that are pissed about paying $300 a month in their health insurance, you can get a junk insurance plan for $50.
You're going to get what you pay for, though.
They're called junk for a reason.
Yeah.
And most importantly, they are not required to cover people with pre-existing conditions.
So, wow. So what does Dakotans for Health do now? I mean, you've got administrative efforts. We have, you know, the attorneys general in 20, 21 states, including ours, Marty Jackley,
yeah.
on this lawsuit. What actions does Dakotans for Health do to counter this effort and protect all these benefits you're talking about for South Dakotans?
You know, what we can do is just try to leverage this national effort that's going on. Like I said, there's 250 different patient and consumer advocacy groups, hospital associations, nurses and doctors associations that are out there sounding the alarm here. And that's what we're doing. We're sounding the alarm. People need to know what's at stake. This is not a political issue, despite being politicized. I mean, we're talking about healthcare, and we're talking about something that's going to impact all of us. And I think that when it comes to this lawsuit, I don't know exactly what the reasoning was for signing on to it, but it doesn't make sense. And I think that once we continue to peel back the onion here, maybe some people might regret having signed on board.
Sure. And like you say, it's not political. Republicans and Democrats both have moms with pre-existing conditions. And kids with pre-existing conditions. But it is an election year. And certainly, I mean, the candidates have the stage.
Yeah.
And they're in a position, too, to talk about health care. Has Dakotans for Health interacted with candidates for public office at any level? And are you hearing anything from our candidates about what they think of protecting South Dakota's access to health care?
Limited. I would say this, just to sort of crystallize maybe what the other side might say in response to our criticism on this lawsuit, on other, you know, administrative hurdles they've imposed to coverage in the ACA. You know, they seem to think that there are other options to covering people with pre-existing conditions. There are other alternatives to get people health insurance, and you know, a lot of these things should happen at the state level. You know, I think that that's a fool. It's not something you're ever going to be able to implement. And you know, again, when we go back to some of these high risk pools that we had in South Dakota, the protections that they're looking to strip out of the ACA didn't exist in our high risk pools in South Dakota back in the dark ages either. And that's protections on lifetime limits, caps for lifetime limits. So let me just explain that. You know, lifetime limits in health insurance policy means that if you have limited coverage, you can say, so my little son, you know, Riley, right? Riley has a congenital heart defect. He's born with, this is a hypothetical. He's born with, you know, 50% of his heart. He has to have 4 heart surgeries by the time he's 2 to reconstruct aspects of his heart so he can live, right? They're $250,000 a pop.
Yep.
He's got a lifetime limit of $500,000 on his health insurance plan. And so once he crosses that threshold, he's either paying out of pocket or going into bankruptcy, or his parents are going into bankruptcy, right? So lifetime limits were not covered. We had limits on our high-risk pools.
On exactly the people who stand the greatest chance of reaching some maximum limit there. Which, that would make it the dark ages. That's the absurdity of a program, a policy, that's meant to help people, but it does the least and gets rid of, as soon as possible, the people who need that protection most.
Exactly. You know, and moving forward, too, they're going off after other protections. There's, you know, premium assistance programs. We did not have a premium assistance program in South Dakota back in the dark ages, right? And that's something that we have right now through the ACA. So if you're, you know, making under a certain amount of money a year, I think it's something like $65,000 a year, maybe it's $75,000, you get premium assistance to help pay your premium, right? So that $300 premium people are complaining about, if you make under, you know, a certain amount of dollars a year, you can get $100 a month, $200 a month to offset it. So you've got full coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. Top line, you know, platinum health plans through Avera and Sanford Health, and it's $100 a month.
And so all of these things you're talking about, protections for pre-existing conditions, young people being able to stay on parents' policies till they're 26, no lifetime caps on usage, and the premium subsidies you're talking about, these are all protections that we've gotten now in this decade, and that are all at risk with this lawsuit and with the other efforts that the current national administration is using.
That's exactly right, Corey. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So if people are concerned about this, what can they do, and how can they learn more about Dakotans for Health?
Well, we've got a Facebook page. You can get on Facebook. It's Dakotans for Health with a numeral.
Okay. But just type in Dakotans number four health and they'll find it, right?
Join the group. There's a lot of really good information. You know, all of the studies that we used in compiling this report, which are all through very, very credible and reputable education centers and research centers, they're all on there. A lot of the data for South Dakota is on there. If you're curious about, you know, how many people in South Dakota have a pre-existing condition, how many people are getting health care through the medical exchanges, you know, it's all there. So you can do that. But most importantly, what you should probably do is ask your candidates for office what they think about this lawsuit. That's what I would think that would be the most important thing to do, because I think once people peel back the onion here and see what's going on, it's pretty obvious that this is a major risk for the state, and it's not something that we should be part of.
And that's candidates at every level. That's our statewide candidates, you know, Congress, governor, attorney general, who kind of has something to do with the lawsuit.
Yeah, of course.
And even our legislative candidates, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the as I sort of understand the argument coming from what this is, the attorney general up in North Dakota, Wayne Stengem, you know, the argument, to harken back to our days at debate, right? It seems that his argument is almost that if there's a plan in place to take care of all these people with pre-existing conditions, all these reduced health care outcomes, then we should do this suit and get rid of Obamacare. There's not a plan in place to take care of these people. So we shouldn't.
right. Because in the end, we're helping people get health care, we're helping them be healthier, and ultimately we're saving money for everybody.
Yeah.
That's the long-term game here.
It's a win. It's really, really a win for everyone, and it could be a massive lose for people. I mean, I can't even, you know, if you get your coverage yanked next year and you're kicked off the exchanges and you're a parent, and by the way, your kid's got a pre-existing health condition, and now you're out there trying to find coverage somewhere else and you're able to be discriminated against because your kid's got a pre-existing condition, you know, your premium costs, I mean, they're going to go through the roof. You think they're bad now, just wait.
Adam Weiland, Dakotans for Health, working to protect South Dakotans' insurance. Well, everybody's health insurance. Adam, thank you for speaking with Dakota Free Press.
Hey, really happy to be here. Thanks a lot.